Well, I wonder if many of you have harvest memories, either school assemblies which were focused upon harvest, or maybe chapel memories. Maybe you remember a chapel full of people, remember lovely displays, the smell of the harvest loaf, eating it afterwards with definitely butter. And you remember those times you sang, "We plough the fields and scatter." Maybe you sang, "Come ye thankful people, come." And you have vivid memories of those days. Maybe you heard messages about Noah and the rainbow and God's faithfulness and those words, seed time and harvest. It's true, isn't it? What the Bible says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night will not cease. It's a wonderful promise, and we remember those days when we heard such words at either school assemblies or chapels. Now, harvest is a dying thing, and we heard that last night, probably because we don't see much of farming and we go to big supermarkets and we don't consider the process so much. But it's good, isn't it? Isn't it good to revive old practices? You find some people, they love the past and they live in the past. We're not to do that. But there are things in the past that are a very great blessing that we can revive for today. Now, my theme this morning is sowing and reaping. I expect you worked that out from Galatians chapter 6. And the Bible says an awful lot about sowing and reaping. There's a well-known verse in the Psalms, Psalm 126. Some of you will have learned this off by heart. "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joy." The psalmist is saying, when God's people pray with tears, maybe tears of repentance, tears of crying out to God, they work with tears, God has promised that they shall reap. There's promises in the Bible about sowing and reaping, sowing in tears, reaping with joy. There's also warnings in the Bible. For example, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. A nation that turns its back upon God, that flouts his laws, that sets up vain idols, will reap a whirlwind, the consequences of their sin." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 tells us the law of giving. 2 Corinthians 9 is all about monetary gifts. Verse 6 says this, "He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows liberally shall reap liberally." The law of sowing and reaping. You only need to read the book of Proverbs. It speaks about the person who withholds too much and he comes to poverty. The soul who's generous, who gives, and he's never without. God blesses him. Now today we're going to verses 6 and 7 of Galatians chapter 6. And here again we have the law of sowing and reaping. What you put in determines what comes out. Look at this. Verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the sinful nature will of the sinful nature reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And then if you go to the next two verses, there's a direct application to the Christian there. If you're living this life of the Spirit, well, don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Don't become weary in well-doing. Verse 9, "In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Press on in this life of the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit, and you'll see many good results. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." Those are our brothers and sisters. Well, we're going to look at three things this morning. First of all, the fact that God has fixed laws. Secondly, we're going to consider that there are two realms to sow in. You have a choice. I have a choice. We can sow in two different and distinct realms in our lives. And then thirdly, we're going to consider that there are only two results to this sowing. So first of all, fixed laws. Well, just as in the physical universe, there are constants. We have the inviolable laws of physics. Many of you have learnt them at school. Newton's law of gravity. Einstein's law of relativity. If you've done physics and you've looked at electrical currents, I don't know if you remember Ohm's law. You might remember Kelvin's law. You just need to dive into textbooks, old textbooks, and you see how many different laws there are. They're constants and they're fixed. And just as God has established these laws in the natural world, so he has established absolute laws in the moral world. We considered some of the Ten Commandments last week. But there are also principles that God has set up that are timeless. And here we have one of them, this law of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the sinful nature, if you indulge your flesh, if you live to please yourself, to satisfy your own desires, if you live with no reference to God and his laws, you will reap the consequences. You will reap corruption. And in verse 7, it tells us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he reap. God sees everything. All the things that other people don't see about you, God sees. Nothing is hidden from his sight. You cannot cover up anything before the all-seeing God. You cannot insult him. You cannot mock him by thinking that you can get away with things. Your sin will find you out. As human beings, we often think that we can get away with things. We think, well, nobody will know. No one can see. There won't be any consequences. But to live like that is to deceive ourselves. Do not be deceived. It'd be good for you to do a word study on that. Look on the Bible, how much it talks about the danger of self-deception. For example, the book of James says that he who doesn't bridle his tongue deceives himself. In this chapter, it talked earlier about the danger of deceiving yourself. Verse 3, thinking yourself far more than you are when you're nothing. You're deceiving yourself. You deceive yourself if you think that you can follow God just by your lips. True religion is to visit the orphan and the widow and to keep yourself unspotted from this world. You deceive yourself if you don't live trusting in Jesus Christ, knowing him and living as God wants you to live. King David deceived himself, didn't he? He committed adultery, arranged for another person to be murdered, and he thought he could get away with it. But God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. When David was confronted with his sin, he wept. He repented in dust and ashes, but there were still the consequences for him and his family. There's an absolute law. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, God is good, isn't he? Why has he given us the laws, the fixed laws for this physical universe? Wow. God upholds the world by his word, and he uses these laws that are in line with his word to hold everything together. And he's given us these principles in the scripture for our good. He's saying to us, don't sow to the sinful nature. Don't sow to your selfish desires. Don't live in this way. There's corruption. Sow to the Spirit of God. By the Spirit, there is everlasting life. So we've considered that there is this fixed law, but secondly, let's consider these two realms. There's only two realms to sowing. You either sow to the flesh or you sow to the spirit. Now, what Paul is writing here is directed to Christians. Christians who already have the Holy Spirit living within them, and they understand what Paul is saying. The words that he's saying is not a mystery to them. They understand what it means to sow to the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God has come to dwell within their hearts. They've been born again. And they're living a life in the Spirit of God. But there's a struggle, because they know they're still sinners. And although Christ died for them, and they died with him on the cross, they were crucified with Christ, and they were raised again with him, and they have this new nature within them because of what Christ has done, yet there's still the old person, the old man, warring. And we read in chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, these words written to the Christians in Galatia: "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the Spirit of God is in you. Well, keep in step with the Spirit. Honor God, please him. And so by this means, by walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill those lusts, those desires of the sinful nature. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's an inner conflict. There's a war going on. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That happens, the Christian. He doesn't do the things that he wants to do. He gives way to the sinful nature. Don't do that. Walk in the Spirit. Make the right choice. Sow to the Spirit. And then he says this, verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Remember, that's the way to live. Being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't go back to rules, regulations. Don't do this, don't do that. Live in this relationship to God by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So the words that we find here in verse 8 of chapter 6 about sowing to the Spirit are words directly applicable to Christians who have the Holy Spirit. But surely these words apply to everybody, because everybody has a choice to make. Everybody can choose to serve God and to honour him, or choose to live to self. Now, what does it mean then? There are these two realms, sowing to the flesh. Well, every time I harbour a grudge and feel bitter towards another person and nurse that within my heart, I am sowing to the flesh. If you swear and curse, you are sowing to the flesh. If I fantasize or indulge in sexual fantasies, I am sowing to the flesh. If you watch pornographic material, you are sowing to the flesh. If you gloat over another person's failure, you are sowing to the flesh. If I am gluttonous, I am sowing to the flesh. If I'm lazy, can't be bothered to get up out of bed and to work, I am sowing to the flesh. If I live for the pleasures of this world, I am sowing to the flesh. For some, it may be an addiction. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, food, gambling, Facebook, whatever that addiction is, there are many addictions. If these things dominate us, we are sowing to the flesh. And God says if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. God wants us to sow to the Spirit. We can have character traits, can't we? When I always lose my temper, that's because I've been sowing to the flesh. When I'm always speaking ill of somebody, I'm sowing to my sinful nature. When I'm jealous and I let jealousy settle down in my heart, I'm sowing to the flesh. Now, a Christian has a battle going on. There's the spirit of God and there's the flesh. And God says, walk in the spirit, put to death these things. But what does it mean to sow to the spirit? Well, first of all, I want to say this. In order to sow to the spirit, really, first of all, you need the spirit of God to sow in you. As we heard last night, God takes his word, seed, and it plants it deep within the heart. And that word, it ploughs up the bad soil. That word convicts you of sin. If you've already been convicted this morning, that's good, that the Spirit of God is convicting you. He shows you the righteous, holy standards of God. He's working in that bad soil in order to churn it over, preparing it for the seed, the good seed to come, that there might be repentance in your life and that there might come a harvest to God. Now, what does the Spirit of God do? He convicts of sin, but he points you to Jesus Christ. He points you to the lover of men's souls. He points you to the one who was crucified for sinners like you and me. He points you to the one who has loved men and women like no other person has loved. The one who is God and the one who is man. The one who's loved people when they are mocking and hating. When they're insulting him and rejecting him. He loved them with a strong love. He loved sinners with deep compassion. When they were ignorant. Without hope and not understanding what they were doing. He loved them. And for those who believe, he forgives all of their sin. All of their sin. All of their sin. All who turn to him in repentance and believe in him. He wipes all of their sin clean and he forgives them. And he makes them acceptable before God. He gives them his perfect righteousness. There's no love like the love of Jesus Christ. He makes men and women acceptable before this holy God who has these inviolable fixed laws. Failures, and we all fail. And he says, I'll wipe the plate clean, but you must surrender to me. You must acknowledge that I am Lord and King. You must bow before me. If you are to sow to the Spirit and of the Spirit, reap everlasting life, you must first believe in Jesus Christ. Yield your life to him. Have you done that? We said earlier, it's a terrible thing when people just live life not saying thank you or ungrateful. But it's far worse to spurn the love of God. The love of God in Jesus Christ. He's given himself upon that cruel cross, taking the anger and the wrath of God against sin for sinners like you. And he's offering eternal life if you would come to him. It's a terrible thing to spurn the love of God. So what does it mean then to sow in the Spirit? Well, you've been loved by God. You now want to do the things that please him. You want to obey his commands. He says, be holy as I am holy. To sow to the Spirit is to live a life of holiness and godliness, seeking to please him, not yourself. To sow to the Spirit is to seek first the kingdom of God. It's about priorities. Yes, it's about a lifestyle of holiness, but that lifestyle of holiness is determined by priorities. What are the priorities, the choices that you make in your life? Do you prioritize God and Jesus Christ and his word and his people? The things of God, are they the things that you prioritize? Do you seek first his kingdom? Do you seek him? What are the things that Jesus says to us? Sow to the Spirit. Well, he says, Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for them. If anybody asks, give to him. If somebody hits you one cheek, offer the other side. No spirit of retaliation in your life. This is what it is to sow to the Spirit of God. And of the Spirit you will reap everlasting life. So there's two realms. You either sow to the flesh or you sow to the Spirit. But lastly, what about these two results? Sowing to the flesh, you reap corruption. Well, what does that mean for the believer if these words are directed to the believer? The believer cannot lose his soul eternally. The believer cannot go to hell. God will keep him. He's kept by a loving God. He's safe in the hands of God. But the believer can miss out on so much. There can be a corrupting and a deadening of his spiritual life. He can lose all his joy in God. That happened to David. He lost all of his vitality. His bones wax old within him because he compromised in sin and thought that he could cover it away. He was sowing to his flesh and he was reaping corruption. Those who sow to wrong internet sites and feed their minds and hearts on pornographic material or gambling material. What are they doing to their souls? Well, if they're Christians, they're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You lose a sense of assurance. You lose all freedom in prayer. You lose a sense of the reality of God. You spoil your life. You spoil the life of your family. You lose all usefulness to the Church of Jesus Christ. You become useless, even if you're involved in activity. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. What does it mean to the unbeliever? The unbeliever who chooses this pattern of life. There's a difference between a believer and an unbeliever. A believer, he may fall, but God will bring him back. He may backslide, but the Lord will work in him. A believer hates what's happening to him. He feels guilty over what's happening to him. But the unbeliever lives with no fear of God, no repentance. What are the consequences? Chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and it tells us the result of some of these things that are written down. What happens to a person who lives practicing these things? And this list isn't an exhaustive list. There are many other sins. But if you live in this way with no repentance, the works of the flesh are evident. What will happen to you? Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you before, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. A person who says they're a Christian, has been baptized in a church, but if they live in that way with no repentance, do not be deceived. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. It says the same thing. Do not be deceived. Such will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not go to heaven, not enjoy the new heaven and the new earth, but will go to hell. For the unbeliever, the one who rejects God and lives in sin with no repentance, corruption means eternal corruption. The book of Romans talks about tribulation and anguish on every soul who does evil. God is a God of love. And out of love, he warns you not to live this life. But what are the consequences of sowing to the Spirit? We've thought of the consequences, the results of sowing to the flesh, which is corruption. But what are the consequences, the results of sowing to the Spirit? of the Spirit you reap everlasting life. Now, everlasting life is not meant to be think of just in terms of a quantity of life, but a quality of life. You shall know me. And my Father, you should know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's about knowing God and knowing all the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. That's eternal life. So if you come back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the results of sowing to the Spirit will mean that there's the fruit of the Spirit, which is that quality of eternal life that we need. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you live for God and you dwell in his presence and you're reminded how much he loves you, you love him in return. And you love others. He's loved you. Whilst you're an enemy, you love your enemies. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's what it means to sow in the Spirit, is to have a joyous Christian life. To sow to the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You know peace with God, and you know the peace of God. It's long-suffering. God has been patient with you. So long-suffering with all your sins. And because of that, you know that you must be patient with others. How can you not be patient with others if God has been patient with you? And God works this fruit of the Spirit, you see. It's not something that we produce. It's of the Spirit. We read, of the Spirit. By the Spirit you reap everlasting life. This quality of life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's how we ought to be as Christians. If we're not like that, we're not sowing to the Spirit as we ought to sow. Yes, we need correct doctrinal beliefs, and everything starts with doctrine. But if we've understood the doctrine, truly understood it spiritually, it should result in this godly, glorious life. Now, we've said that there's a war going on, and we will fail, and sometimes we do the things that we ought not to do, but God wants this fruit to abound in our lives. And so to finish this morning, just some applications. Which is the best life to lead? What did Jesus say? I shall give you life, and life in all of its abundance. Is that not the best life? Abundant life, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing his blessing upon your life. Why would you not sow to the Spirit? The truth shall set you free. Why would you not know freedom in God? Some struggle, don't they? Sarah's pastor, one of the pastors in a church in London, has written a book called The Plausibility Problem, because from a young lad and from teenage years, he struggled with same-sex attraction. He struggled with it. But he said he's found the most satisfying life is not just saying no, and he knows he has to say no to the temptations that he continually has. And he finds very real temptations, but he said it's not enough to say no. It's about saying yes to Jesus and all the blessings of this abundant life and finding my identity in him, and not my identity in my sexuality, but my identity in Christ. And he has so many single friends and so many married friends, and he lives a full life, and he loves Christ. But he'll always have this battle in his life. He's sowing to the Spirit of God. Think of your heart, think of your soul as a garden. It's not enough to treat the weeds. You need to do that. It's not enough to prune. You need to do that. But you need to continually cultivate and feed. Plant more flowers each summer to make it even more beautiful. And that's what the Lord wants us. He wants us to deny the flesh. Yes, we must deny the flesh. We must prune. We must weed. But it's more than that, the Christian life. It's sowing to the Spirit, that the beauty of that garden will blossom in our hearts. God says, Do not be deceived. He will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. May it be that we all sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Amen.